All right, look to your neighbor and say, and then there was us. Hey, if you're visiting here, thank you for being a part. I don't know about you, but that made my heart jump when I saw all those families get up, thinking about the world changers that we have. Yeah, give the Lord a big round of applause. If you ever Google the most common read out loud scripture in the world, you'll read a couple common passages. One is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How many believe that's a really good scripture verse to lead with? One of the top couple, though, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And here's what it reads. And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. I think about family ministry, and I want to lay some groundwork because one of the instructions that our families are going to get over in the preschool wing all the way to the young adult room is that they're going to have some homework to come back and listen as a marker of what kind of environment or culture we're going to begin to set and reset here at Parkway. And I want you to know that there's three things that I've learned over the 20 years of being in youth ministry that I want to download for you today in the next 15 or so minutes. And as I dismiss you guys to a wonderful day of football, a wonderful day of family, a wonderful day of friends, I want you guys to know that I rejoice with the Ducks fans this weekend, and I mourn with the Beaver fans this weekend. God's good, no matter who you serve or who you root for. But the first thing that we need to know about how God has set up the spiritual formation of our lives is that moms and dads are supposed to take the lead and priority in the formation of their families. But I want you to know there's three rules that we're going to live by. One is, the first rule is, we never talk bad about the church or the staff that is serving our students. And let me tell you why that is so important. Misplaced criticism is the cancer that actually disrupts what God is doing in the community that is in Christ. Misplaced criticism. And I want you to note what I'm about to say is I'm not saying that criticism is not needed or wanted or warranted, but misplaced criticism is the cancer to the community of Christ. Because when criticism is misplaced, you actually begin to reveal who your real father is. The Bible says in Revelations that the enemy, Satan, Lucifer, is the accuser of the brethren. Proverbs chapter 6 says, six things the Lord hates, seventh is an abomination, one who sows discord among the brethren. I have watched many young people through 21 years of ministry actually begin to be turned off from the church, not because of necessarily what the church is doing or not doing, but because of what their parents are saying or not saying in actually relation to being an encouragement or being a critic to the church. That doesn't mean that pastors are perfect. That doesn't mean that Christian leadership actually has it always dialed in. It matters by the kind of perspective that we have as families growing up in the church. Your perspective matters. Criticism or misplaced criticism is the cancer to the community that is Christ. So the first thing I want you to know is we are to never talk bad about the church or the staff that is serving our students. Let me set your mind at ease. I know that this morning we're not perfect. Pastors, by their nature, actually are their harshest critics most normally. When I walk out into the vehicle this afternoon, there's about a 30-minute moment where I have to give the Lord all the things that I've said, all the things that I didn't say. I've got to give him all the things that I wish I would have said. And I can't say that all those moments are actually warm and fuzzy. They're actually very intimidating and very insecure, if you want to be really honest with you. We know as pastors that we're not going to be perfect. We are flawed people trying our best to serve our God in the capacity he has called us in. Our kids are like your kids. They make mistakes, and hopefully they learn from them. My son, Jace, who's now 12 years old, who's up at man camp right now, there are times when he gets ready to talk that there's a certain side of me that wants to flinch. How many's ever been that kind of parent before? Like, you never know what kids are going to say. Thankfully, my son, for the most part, has only had good things coming out of his mouth, other than the last couple of weeks where I had to explain to him that we are not supposed to say that word. And where did you hear that word? And don't repeat that word ever. And his eyes got this big, you know. The biggest mistake parents make in the church, I believe, is not building up and encouraging the people that are especially serving their children. If you want to have great grandkids in the church and you want to raise successful people in the church, you have to make sure that when you go to lunch today, you don't have your pastors for lunch. There is a critical spirit that is associated with the religious spirit of our day that wants to criticize everything and everyone. And we have to have the reverb of our life, or the default of our life, should not be criticism. It should be encouragement. I am so blessed that there are so many people in our church that will come up to me after I speak or after Pastor Chase speaks, and they don't criticize him. They encourage them. We recognize, does everyone understand what I'm trying to say to you today? We recognize that we are at our best flawed individuals trying to carry out the Great Commission. And what makes us great and have the anointing is not that we hide our flaws, it's that we recognize them. And we know that if anything's going to happen good from us, it's because God and His Holy Spirit are going to flow through our weaknesses, because it's in our weaknesses that He is made strong. It's where the anointing comes in. The anointing seeps through the cracks of the weaknesses of our life. And so I want to encourage you, especially those of you parents that are going to be joining in this week and listening to this 20-minute devotion, if you want to raise kids up properly in the church, don't teach them to have a critical eye. Teach them to have an eye of encouragement. Don't look at the church for all of its problems. Look at the church for the values that it's going to help you instill in your kids. And when you find a need in the church, it's a pretty good idea that God showed you that need, because you're going to be the answer to actually fill that need. I have always said, if you have the idea, you have the anointing. And so many people over the last 2 years have come to this pastor and said, "Pastor, why don't we do this, or why don't we do that?" And they didn't even really know they were coming to me signing up for a job. But they got a job when they walked out of that office. Because if you see it, it's God giving you the ability to see it so that you can fix it, not talk about it. To be a promoter and not a skeptic is something that is really huge. And so if you're going to be part of our church ministry and our family ministries moving forward, and there's going to be many visitors that we're going to reflect and have you come back on this message, I want you to know what you're signing up for is not to be a consumer, it's to be a contributor. It's to, when you look at the church or when you look at youth ministry or kids ministry, you don't look at for what it's not, you look at for the opportunity of what it can be and how you can be involved to help. So we have to learn the lesson, never talk bad about the church or the staff that is serving our students. Number two in this first point is we always have to encourage involvement, not just with words, but with action. You know, Deuteronomy 6:6-8 gives us as parents the responsibility of keeping it in front of our families as part of our legacy. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the youth pastor's job or the kids pastor's job. On Sundays, we get to reinforce what you've been modeling to your family Monday through Saturday. And how many know that's a huge thing? When you see your kids either honor God or dishonor God, or you see your kids honor the church or dishonor the church. There's no guilt or condemnation in this talk, but this pastor is looking at a brand new set of parents that have been coming to our church, and I want to teach them the ground rules to be able to raise healthy students in the future. To raise healthy families in this future, you have to have an eye on encouragement, and you have to turn your back on the critical spirit. You know, we face the same hurdles and obstacles as everyone else, but with one huge exception. We are endeavoring to raise up young men and women of God, and the obstacles, work, bills, stress, the rat race, sports, activities, school, vacation, birthdays, Christmas, holidays, and then if we have enough time, we get to involve ourselves, our students, in the jungle that we call the church. Our priority of things that Jesus cares about will most oftentimes determine the true success of our children. And as us as parents, we've recognized that the margin of life has gotten smaller and smaller. The Bible talks about in the end times that times of stress will come. I don't know about you, but there is not enough time in the day to do all the things that this world wants us to do. And some of the greatest words that we can learn for our family involve this word. Ready? No. No. No, my kid is not going to play sports on Sunday. No, my kid is not gonna actually do more homework after school than they do in school. No. We have to learn as Christian godly parents and grandparents that boundaries are okay and they're healthy. I don't know about you, but I send my kid to school for 7 hours, and then if we're not careful, the school teachers want to have our kids do 2 and 3 hours of homework a day. What we're doing is we're shoving them in front of TV screens and gaming consoles and iPads and shows, and the parenting is getting less and less, and the godly counsel is needing to actually grow more and more. And so we have to understand that we have to be an encouragement, not just with words, but with action. And where we have a part to play in the church is this, is that there are some kids that are going to come to our church that are going to be spiritually orphaned. And this is where this talk comes in, because many of you have raised your kids, or many of you are thinking about being great grandparents right now. That does not mean that your job as a member of a church is gone because your family is already raised. No, the Bible gives us a very, very specific command that it's our job as the church, put your right hand on your heart and say, I am the church, that we are to take care of the widows and the orphans. And there are many kinds of widows and there are many kinds of orphans. And there is a spiritual orphan mentality that is happening in our world today that you have to know that as a member of the church, you have signed yourself up not to be part of the cruise ship, but to be part of a battleship. And you have to know that you have what it takes to actually be a spiritual father and mother to many spiritual orphans that come into this church. People like myself, that I didn't really have a relationship with my grandparents growing up. When I watch my kids have a relationship with their grandparents, there is something in my heart that actually goes, man, I wish I could have had that. You guys know what I'm talking about? When you begin to see other health and other things that have happened, but thanks be to God that the church can actually restore what the enemy has actually took. And so you have a responsibility to be a grandparent to a grandkid spiritually that doesn't have the opportunity to even know their grandparents. Most of our kids that actually will come into church today haven't had an encouraging word spoke over them. For you to walk across the aisle and look some students in the eyes and say, I want you to know that you matter, you mean something. I'm so thankful that you're here today. There is a spiritual blessing that comes on a church when we are about our Father's business by taking care of those that are widows and orphans. We have to know that we have to do it and model it by our actions. Number three on this first point about taking the lead in our spiritual formation of our family, we are to never ask them to do something that we ourselves are not willing to do. In the church, we recognize that we're going to have ups and downs, but we should never have ins and outs. If you have to know, if you're a family watching this in the future, it's not a matter of if you get offended in the church, it's a matter of when you get offended. Offenses are going to come. The pastor is going to say something that's going to offend you. There's going to be someone to the left or right of you that's going to make you mad. Look to your neighbor right now and say, one day you're going to make me mad. One day you're going to make me mad. You're not going to shake my hand. You're not going to hug my neck. You're not going to meet my need when I need you to meet my need, because why? You're human, right? Look to your neighbor and say, you're just human. That's all you are. Just human. And so you have to know that church is actually the place where offense happens the most, because it's at church that we are oftentimes the most vulnerable. We need the most care and concern. And so I want you to listen to me. The demonic activity that happens in the church oftentimes comes through the spirit of offense. And many people in the church need to get delivered from unforgiveness and the spirit of offense. And that's oftentimes where the spirit of religion puts itself in. Can you believe that pastor didn't shake my hand when he walked by? Can you believe that board member didn't hug my neck? Can you believe what that person said? Could you believe? And what we do is we begin to triangulate our hurt. Let me step on your toes a little bit this morning. We begin to triangulate our hurt. The spirit of offense starts with an internal conversation in myself, and then it usually goes to my spouse or the person closest to me. And then if they don't stop it there, it begins to get rooted deep in, and then we begin to go talk to someone in the pew next to us. Can you believe that's what's going on? And then it doesn't just spread there. So the Bible talks about the seventh thing being the abomination to the Lord is one who causes discord or sows discord among the brethren. Is when you gossip, when you lie, when you don't do Matthew 18, when you don't confront, a demonic spirit of religious spirit comes into the church and it becomes the cancer to the future generation. So you have to know when you're just talking over lunch, you're not just talking over lunch. You're either building the foundation of the next generation or you're tearing the foundation down. So if you want to build and you want to be part of a lasting move of God, listen to me. The two words that I can tell you that will most profoundly touch your life if you're not going to be a person that's an encourager is, if I can say this, and Father, pardon me, shut up. Be quiet. Don't talk negatively. Don't be a sower of discord and disunity. Be an encourager. And if there's something that you see that needs to be addressed, go to the person that can actually address the thing. We never ask them to do something that we ourselves are not willing to do. Oftentimes, our children will convict us, and most times, instead of changing our action, we change theirs by talking them down to our spiritual complacency. There are many times in the church when a word of the Lord will come to the church and to the body, and my boys will get in the car and they'll start to say, well, when are we going to change that? And I'll look to them and go, stop it. Don't. My complacency is a better comfort level than you actually spurring me on. And so oftentimes we have to know it's easier to change what we believe than it is to change how we behave. I need to lock in here for 2 seconds. It's easier to change what we believe than it is easier to change how we behave. And so the critical spirit, the times when we talk bad about the church, the times we talk bad about other churches, we would rather just say, well, I'm just preaching truth, Pastor. They're a bunch of false prophets. That church is going to hell in a handbasket. And what we want to do is we want to remain critical when God, I don't know about you, but when I read spiritual gifts, problem pointing outing is not a spiritual gift. If you could find that in Scripture, please let me know. Problem pointing outing is not a spiritual gift. I know that the sound in this building is a problem. Some people think it's too loud. Some people think it's too quiet. We are in a concrete facility with live sound, and we are desperately trying to fix it. But I am thankful that this year, on an Easter Sunday, we had a $240-something thousand-dollar offering where people said, Pastor, I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. Come on, would you give the Lord a big round of applause there? I want to be part of the solution. So you have to know, you have to train yourself, especially when it comes to the ministries and the life of the church, to speak life, to speak growth, to speak blessing, rather than just speaking the obvious of being a critical person. The second thing that we need to know is to produce young men and women of God in a church that believes with every fiber of their being that investing in the next generation is the greatest mission field in the entire world. I believe that young people oftentimes are the catalyst for what God is doing in an area or a region. And if you want to know how a church is doing, look at the young people on whether or not they're chasing after God at a faster pace than those that have actually gone before them. We should never discourage young people for running faster and farther than us. We believe that our ceiling should be their floor. And so when you see young people down front dancing and worshiping and running after God, it's a good sign that a church is becoming more healthy. They're going to get it wrong. They're going to mess up. I was watching my son. I never am so more nervous when I hear my son trying to sing in the service or trying to encourage people. I get the cold sweats. I want him to do well. I don't want him to get discouraged. Come on, someone talk to me there really quick. I want him to know that there's a bunch of church members that aren't going to run to him after he does something for God and tell him, well, you did something wrong there. You talked too fast, or you did this, or you did that. No, son, you're a man of God, and you've got great things in your future. And you stood up, and you're going to stand up to be the person that God's called you to be. When I saw Bella up here singing, that Bella has a call of God on her life. There's a worship leader in the making in her life. And what should happen is our default position as a church should look at the next generation and say, you run fast, and not only are you going to run fast, but I'm going to help encourage you along the way to do what God's called you to do. Investing in the next generation is important. The third thing that we need to know is that the power of God that is active in a church is for all ages. There's no junior Holy Spirit. God has no grandchildren. And I believe the move of God that God wants to do in our region is going to touch preschoolers at this church, and it's going to touch hundreds and somethings in this church, 90s and somethings. I don't know about you, but when I read the scripture, never once is age an excuse to retire from the kingdom of God. You tracking with me? If you're in your 80s or 90s, that does not give you an excuse to step back because you think that it's someone else's turn. No, what we model for the next generation is that we stand and toe the line on the front lines of what God is doing, and we invite the next generation beside us so that we can lock arms so that what is here is able to be passed on to future generations. Some of you need to learn how vital your voice is in reaching the next generation. I believe that the thing that is needed is the power of God actively working in all ages in the church. We cannot expect reasonable results out of our young people if we are not endeavoring to live like we are telling them to live. If we want young people to shed tears at an altar, they need to see us shedding tears during worship. If we want young people at our prayer meetings, we need to model what it means like going to our prayer meetings. If we believe in living a life of generosity and teaching that to our kids, we need to model what it means like to live a life of generosity. However, we believe with our whole heart that cities are touched most often through a spark that initiates in the young people of that community, but it doesn't stop there. It ignites like a fire through all ages. And what I am praying for today, and what we're going to pray for now, is we pray that God brings such a move to this city that it starts in this room, but it also goes to the preschool, it goes to the Ed Wing, and it goes to the Hull Center. Because we believe that we serve a God that is not just for one generation, He's for all generations. But those of us that are spiritually mature, I want you to hear this pastor's heart. We have to stop being negative about the people that God's called to lead us in our seasons. We are to be encouragers, not critics. There's a religious spirit that's at work in our nation that has this propensity to talk negatively about everything and everyone. We can talk 7 or 8 things bad about a church, but you know what my follow-up question usually is? Give me 1 or 2 good things that are happening. And it's funny how quiet people get because it'll tell you what they're dwelling on. If you dwell on the negative, you're disrupting the foundation of the house of God, and it's going to be the detriment of your family and your future. But if you will encourage the foundation of God and say, hey, there's a crack there, and I see it, but I'm going to be part of the answer to fixing that. When you shore up the foundation that is God, it is to the blessing of future generations. And so we're going to take here at the closing, it's 11:12, we're going to take a couple minutes. And what I felt like we were supposed to do at the end of this service is I want us to huddle as families that are remaining here. And I don't know how you pray. I don't know if you pray. I wanted us to take 3 or 4 minutes at the close of this service and huddle together as a family. And I want us to visibly begin to pray for and encourage in the spirit what's happening all across this campus today. I want us to pray for our preschool ministries. I want us to pray for our kids' ministry. I want us to pray for our middle school ministry. I want us to pray for our high school ministry. I want us to pray for our young adult ministry. I had the privilege of going up to Man Camp on Friday. There's around 30 people up at Man Camp at Applegate Lake, and I had the privilege of speaking and doing a devotion on Friday night around the fire. And I was watching Pastor Justin and Mark Swanberg and DJ Moore and Jonathan Powell and Terry Wagner. And I was watching about 20 or so kids, junior high and high school kids. I was watching a young man that I believe God has a great plan for in Peyton Wargard. I was watching Jace around this fire as I began to share what God had placed on my heart about real men know how to worship. Real men know how to worship. And I was watching as some of these kids that have been raised up in foster care and raised up without knowing their moms and dads, I was watching as tears were streaming down their cheeks because they were getting a glimpse that they have a God up in heaven who looks down on them and has made a way for them in the middle of their chaos to find and be connected to men of God, pointing them in the direction of a good heavenly Father. That's what the church should be known for. The church should be known for encouraging. When the enemy has tried to rob, God's people give back tenfold. Where the enemy has stolen, God restores. And that's the kind of church that I want us to be. So would you guys stand to your feet as we get ready to close this morning? Thank you for joining us online. And what I want you to do, if you're at home online, I want you to, if you will, join this pastor in specifically praying over the next 3 to 5 minutes before we start our day for the ministries of this house, that God would begin to raise up the next generation in might and power. Because we believe God has no grandchildren and there's no junior Holy Spirit. But we believe God's working mightily in Jesus' name. So before you guys be dismissed, would you guys huddle up as a family? Would you guys huddle up as husbands and wives? Would you take about 3 to 5 minutes and would you pray specifically over the ministries? And while you guys are doing that, I'm going to start. So Heavenly Father, we pray. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus, power and might and blessing over every one of our ministries, from preschool to young adults. Father, we pray for those interns that are launching their adventure starting today. Father, only you know where this year is going to take them, what foreign soil they're going to walk on, what campus they're going to be on, what small church they're going to be able to help, what ministry in this house they're going to be able to help encourage. So, Father, we pray. We pray for every child, every infant in arms, every pre-K kid, every student. God, we pray for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit over them. We pray, God, that they wouldn't just know about you, but they would begin to know you. Father, we pray. We pray as a church. We commit to fasting and praying and tearing down every stronghold of a critical spirit that might try to attach itself to the moving and working of your Spirit. Father, we pray freedom. We pray freedom over our kids' ministry, over our youth ministry. We pray for life and that life would come more abundantly. We pray, Father, for incredible things, miracles, signs, and wonders to happen. We pray for the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit to happen in our kids. Father, we pray, God, that you will give them the courage to be bold as lions, oh God. We pray, God, that you will do supernatural things amongst them and in them. That it will not just stop when they're at church, but Father, it will continue in their lives when they go to school, when they are meeting with extended family members and friends and cousins. That people would see the difference in the kids that come to Parkway. That they would see the difference in the young people that come to Parkway. Father, we pray, God, for a mighty moving of your Spirit. We pray, God, that you'll do it in power. And you'll do it not just one day, God, but you'll do it today in Jesus' name. Father, I don't know about many of you in this room, but I'm tired of praying for the move of God to come one day. Father, we're believing for it to happen today in Jesus' name. Lives to be changed. Hearts to be moved. God, that people would have a genuine curiosity about what you're doing and how you're speaking. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you guys pray as families just for the next few moments, and then I'll come up and dismiss. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We pray for open doors for our young people at school with campus clubs and Bible clubs. Father, we pray as our interns, as they knock on doors to reach the next generation, Father, that doors will just easily swing open. That the enemy can't shut doors that you have destined to be open. We pray for the encouragement of our pastors. We pray for Pastor Rhonda right now, God, as she has been such a faithful servant to you. Father, doing mighty works. We know that the enemy wants to come and bring a spirit of sometimes of discouragement or man, am I making it? Lord, would you bless Pastor Rhonda? Father, would you cause life to enter into her life? That a new refreshed vision would come to her, God. That she has made a difference and she is making a difference, Lord. And would you send people alongside of her to help lift up her hands? Father, we pray for Pastor Bethany and Zay. Father, we pray for wisdom and experience beyond their years. Father, we pray, God, that you'll begin to speak to Pastor Bethany as the woman of God that she is about areas, Father, that you're calling her to in growth. Father, we pray for Pastor Kylie. The middle schoolers of this valley are so just distraught and depressed. Father, we pray for life to come into Pastor Kylie, a new refreshed vision. Father, we pray for Pastor Chase right now and Leanna. We pray, God, that you will give them the stamina that it takes to run towards young people and young adults. Father, we pray for resources and investments to come. We pray for these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. All right, one final bit of instruction. I know many of you guys are going to walk out that door and go grab lunch and be blessed in the meantime. But if God's tugging on your heart in the way of trying to use your life to help touch and be part of people's lives in the ways of spiritual orphans, maybe your kids are born and raised out of the house, but God's putting a burden in your heart for preschool or Ed Wing or middle school or high school or young adults, I'm going to encourage you guys to walk over to those areas, stand in the back, and then when they dismiss, go talk to those wonderful, wonderful leaders and say, hey, I want to help. How can I help? And a spirit of encouragement is a thing that's going to break down the spirit of religion of criticism. And we're going to jump on board and making sure that those people know that we have their back in Jesus' name. Father, bless every one of our people today. Father, give them a wonderful week. Let them be a light in this dark world. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen and amen.